I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Into the Neuroverse presents...
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Ladies, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Hello, Izzy.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for coming on my show. I've got a selection from M&S of, if you want any, it's yours. Two custard show buns.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an M&S advert.
It's an M&S advert, isn't it? Well... But the custard show buns, have you ever had one of these?
Is it show?
I want to say, what would you say? Shock.
Chew.
Chew?
Chew.
What do you think, Andrew? Andrew White. He's only young, but he's very clever.
I would have gone for show, but I don't know.
You'd have gone for show.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it is.
Custard show buns.
O-U-X.
Custard chew buns.
Would you like me to check?
Yes.
Yes. You've got a laptop.
I won't continue until we know.
Generously filled.
Oh, here we go.
I like that
with
someone
fresh.
Had to come
There's
up with that.
The word fresh.
Generous. They don't skimp on it.
No.
Have you ever worked in like a... we're in. The podcast is off. Have you ever worked in like a silver service place or anything like that?
No, I've worked in a lot of bars and as a waitress and stuff, but never silver service.
I had to do the Commodore International. I had to.
What is that? It was
a place in Nottingham.
Oh,
I think it's closed down now.
I thought that was a plane, an aeroplane. Oh, Concorde.
Concorde. Stop now. They don't do it. They won't. Concorde and Commodore International.
Oh, so not neither of them.
Commodore International wasn't the place where they have like a Tom Jones impersonator and stuff, but it was like a proper silver service thing, but it was all kind of... the guy who did it, the waiter... Do you remember that character I did that you liked? He used to go, I'm a normal bloke, that Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Brilliant.
And he called his kid Mike, and he goes, I believe in sticking to what you know, that guy. And he sort of had this little tick, like he'd say a thing and then his whole head would shake. That was based on the head waiter.
Was it?
He'd tell us, like, so you get hold of your knife and fork, sort of do this little, just a little shudder. It's hard to imagine through podcast, but, you know, just a
it's
little shudder.
It's like a pained thing.
Like
it?
It's really hurting him to
is
have
it,
to do this.
He doesn't want to tell people what to do, but he has to.
Yeah, well, he definitely... I mean, he looked quite young and sort of spotty and... Do you know what I mean? Like, kind of... Like, he shouldn't be in that position of authority. Like, probably all his mates were still teen... Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he'd taken on this role that was quite important.
He'd been given it maybe a year too early.
Maybe, yeah. But he was stepping up.
Yeah.
I think it was the pressure of stepping up made him just shudder after he told you so. They used to pick you up in a bus... We'd all go to Nottingham City Centre because this was like 17 or something.
What did you have to wear?
Oh, fuck. I mean, like, you'd be meant to, like, dress smart and I'd just be wearing whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just probably, like, really uninned. just the worst. But, yeah, it was like trying to be posh when it's not really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's funnier, isn't
it,
than when
was.
Things are actually... It's like when you see someone in the supermarket. I always remember when I was in Guildford, there used to be this woman who walked around in like a really scruffy, like barber jacket, but falling apart, and she didn't brush her hair. And
right.
So I go, I need a bottle of port, but it must be from 1932.
Where was this?
Sainsbury's in Guildford. When I was at drama school, people
were
like, what are you on about? But she was like properly posh, but because she was so posh, she didn't have to like brush her hair or... Whereas it's the ones who really want to be posh, where it's funnier.
Yeah, is it nouveau riche? Is that what you
nouveau
call it?
Nouveau riche, yeah, but maybe...
They had an attitude.
Ancien riche.
What's that mean?
Old rich.
Old rich?
Who were like that too.
Not at the Commodore
International. Trying to prove stuff. No, not at the Commodore.
I don't think so.
Do you know what? I went to a pub when we were on a holiday in Wales.
Oh.
And we got on with the owner.
Hmm.
And I said, how old is this place? And she said, she liked us, and she said, come here. And she opened this, like, secret bookcase. And there was a massive function room at the back, and you couldn't tell from outside.
Through the bookcase?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Were you slightly disappointed that it was just a function room? Like, I thought it was going to be
like Narnia.
A library of ancient books or something.
Just like books a function room. That's where we just stick all the tables and chairs.
Yeah, that's just storage, basically. No, it was great.
That's lovely.
It just reminded me.
And how old was the pub?
It was only about 20 years old, but it looked like hundreds of years old. Anyway, is this pub like really, really old? And she's like, no.
God, you can feel the
that's
history.
What I said, it's got so much character.
You can just think what could have happened here.
All the
probably in Chaucer's time, people would be having the same sort of conversation we're having, you know. But I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, they were just like us, really, weren't they?
Got built in the 1980s. Which wasn't 20 years ago, but feels like a
god. I know.
Don't. We who are old.
We're ancient people.
Are we?
Are we?
As in, like, Romans? Do you know, funny, the things my daughter asked me on the way to school, and this morning we were talking about death. Oh, God, it was very... We had to discuss the afterlife. Have you been through all that?
Yes, I think so.
Because I've had death... You've had death in the... We've both grieved.
Yes, we've grieved.
We grieved.
We've done it. We've ticked that one off.
Yeah, we keep going. Do you get to the point where you're like, who is it now? Oh, no.
When the phone rings, you think, who is it this time?
You were quite young,
right. And I was 33,
right.
And I still think that's quite young.
That is young, yeah.
And I remember it being, I was about the only one in my group of friends who'd lost a parent, and then now... More people are losing parents. I'm like, yeah, I was one of the first guys.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not a bit
come
surprised.
To me for wisdom.
Oh, God.
I know.
It reminded me of something once someone said, like, oh, no, I'm not going to tell the story.
Okay.
Because it's a bit mean.
Is it? Okay. Is it about what someone said? After?
No, I'll tell you what it is and then we'll decide afterwards. No, it was Ferg, right? Went to me like, and it was like, my dad's actually really ill at the minute, like that. And I went, my dad's dead. It was like a real moment of like, oh, fuck, yeah, sorry.
Aww,
it was a weird moment.
It's kind of hard for both of you, isn't it?
Yeah, you're like, I didn't say it in a kind of like...
Yeah, like...
Yeah, my dad's dead, mate.
Yeah, like this is
I don't know, it just sort of came out.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a bit of a neurodiverse thing.
It's hard. Well, I suppose it's like you're seeing it as him bringing that to the table and you're bringing that to the table.
Yeah, but I wasn't trying to, like, bring a bloody gun to a knife fight. But I don't know, it just felt a bit like,
Sometimes
people don't acknowledge that. Anyway,
yeah,
I get it,
but that might have been that you didn't think he'd fully acknowledged in the past. When you say stuff, I sometimes think it's often to do with what's gone on like 2 years ago or something. And you go, why did I just say that? And you're like,
I think I have a thing with her because I haven't seen him for ages, to be honest, but because we have history, it's like everything you just say...
Well, it's almost like your siblings.
You come out... Yeah, you know? I guess so.
I think you've lived with someone.
I know. I don't mean that. Anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We haven't got on to the start. Andrew, you must remind me to talk about what we're talking about.
Would you like to know how she was pronounced?
Yes, I would.
Oh, I've sort of buried the lead there.
I mean, that feels like that was an hour ago.
Yeah, that's what it's like with me.
Oh,
it is Shu. Oh, well done, Ishii.
Thank you. A-level French. There we go. Shoo.
And is his voice?
Yes, yeah.
You've done a lot of voiceovers, haven't you? But to the point where sometimes I'm in a shop and a voice comes on, I just sort of assume it's you.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening now is they're getting someone who sounds like me.
Because people keep going, are you the voice of Siri? And
that's
I'm like,
probably it.
No.
You got a great voice.
Thanks.
Was it Asda?
I did Asda for a bit.
That was the big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ka-ching.
When you do supermarkets, I've done a couple of supermarkets.
Yeah.
They change their prices really last minute. So you have to often go in and be like, apples, only 50p, only 49p, only 48p. And go like... because they don't know.
So they've got them in the tank need them.
Yeah.
The price of apples could change drastically.
You just don't know.
God. Do you ever say, we're giving them away free?
Oh, I think I've said stuff like that. Yeah, but
we haven't got any apples.
Stuff.
You've got through every possible.
Yeah, exactly. That they've all sold out.
No more apples, guys.
Yeah, stop queuing and asking for apples.
Yeah.
So it is shoe.
It is a shoe bun.
Like a shoe.
A Like a shoe bun. It sounds like Vic and Bob.
I mean, it's got to be a show for you, Colin. A show bun.
I like it. Do you have any show buns?
I must have a show
bun. Oh, I love a custard show bun. But what I was going to say right at the top, we've gone on a real spaghetti journey here, haven't we, all over the bloody shop already? And I haven't finished three of the things I started.
That's all right. I've listened
ADHD,
to Toby Williams'
dreadfully
episode.
You get the idea.
I get it.
And that wasn't the idea. It wasn't meant to be like that. It's never meant to be like this. But we just have to accept, you know, we're slowly accepting who we are.
Oh, my God,
that's
totally
the point of the show.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'd say about M&S, you're driving home from a gig, you need a little pick-me-up, you've got to go to M&S. You're not going to go to fucking Moto.
But do you always say this for M&S?
No, I don't, but you should if there's an M&S, we're going in
or get
there.
Sponsored by them, yes.
It's very cold.
What is the shoe bun?
No, the sharp. It's hard to stay in there for long. It's freezing.
It's cold in Sainsbury's as well, though. It's cold in all supermarkets because of the fridges. Do you not think?
Yeah, but in M&S, I feel like they just freeze everything.
It's worse.
But you can never get one. You always get two.
Yeah.
And do you still gig driving?
Do you know what? I do a gig one gig every sort of 3 weeks, and they're often ones where I get the train and stay over now. I'm in my mid-40s. I don't do those drives back. I don't drive on the motorway on my own.
Oh,
I can only drive with Ellis with me
or Harriet
Kemsley.
God, you know what? I've always had a problem with food. My whole family does. I feel I'm doing pretty well with it at the minute, but apart from long gigs, because I'll have to get... I had this cake and I threw it as far as I could into the back seat. Because my point is, you don't just get one, you have to buy two.
I know, and that's really annoying.
And it's a four-hour journey, five-hour
journey. If you're a single
journey,
person who lives on their own, might not want to buy a ready meal for two.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, you had the cake, and it was the cake
for
two.
So I ate one. I was like, I'll have one in an hour. It's like a five-hour journey. I won't have the other one. You know, I'll have a sandwich, then a show bun. An hour later, I'll pace it out. I end up having the first show bun immediately, like within seconds. And then the second, I had to throw into the back seat.
To stop yourself
from
eating.
To stop myself eating it.
I get it.
Then I'm driving down the motorway trying to find it. Genuinely trying to find it. And, like, incredibly dangerous. So thanks for coming on the show, Izzy. It's lovely to see you again. We're old pals.
You too, yeah.
Help yourself.
Thank you.
And you, Andrew, if you dare to come from behind your...
Thank you, I shall.
The Wizard of Oz, dare to leave his curtain.
Steal some sausages.
Right, I'm opening the show buns.
Do you ever say it, seeing behind the magician's curtain?
In general conversation?
Like any time.
A little peek behind the magician's curtain.
Yeah, like maybe on stage if something goes wrong.
It's one of those sort of things that people, I think I should say, because people say it within theatre, don't they? But it's probably only Amdram people say shit like that, don't they?
It's an easy laugh in a way, isn't it, at times?
A little peek behind the curtain there. Mm. I do say it, yes.
I remember once we did Daisy... We did Daisy Pulls It Off at drama school.
Wonderful.
Which is... Do you know that play?
No, I remember they did it at my school, but I never saw it.
It's a good play for students, and there's lots of women in it.
Mm.
And I was the best friend, Trixie, and it's set in a boarding school, and it's very fun, it's just silly. But on the first night, the curtains actually wouldn't open in the theatre, and... we all had to like mingle in the audience before. Had we ever done plays like that?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, they're like going to the audience, guys, and chat in character.
So how old are you? Like 15?
No, I was in the third year at college. We were like 21.
Oh, right. Oh, this was
But we were like welcome to our school. If you want refreshments, they'll be available afterwards. We couldn't really improvise. Anyway, then we all had to, at this sort of music cue, then line up in front of the curtain and the play was going to start, and the curtains were supposed to open, and they didn't open. There was absolute yawning silence.
You weren't doing the audience stuff because of the curtain?
No, we were supposed to.
It wasn't like go and talk to the audience because of the curtain thing.
No, they were like, go and do it. No, that was planned. I know. I've had to do it loads of times.
Do that.
I had to do it in Manchester Youth Theatre as well. I had to sit on someone's knee in Manchester Youth Theatre.
When I was first year at drama school, the third years did a Chekhov, and they did that. But they were like walking around and go, the train to Moscow will be coming any time soon. You're like, fuck off. Just leave me alone.
You're like turning your phone off. And sir, do you know the right platform to...
If the war continues like it has, then... what are you doing?
I know, but I
don't want to do this. I don't want you to do this.
Yeah, I know. So I did Marit Saad when
I mean, that's
graduated.
Sort of the whole punch drunk thing, that's sort of... I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I just went to see him.
Okay.
City.
So
yeah.
It can be amazing.
It can be amazing, yeah.
I hate it.
Well, Ellis really didn't know what to make of Burnt City. He liked it, but I didn't see it. Oh, right.
I don't hate Punch Drunk. I've never seen it.
Oh, my God, they're amazing.
Yeah, I imagine it's incredible. But in the idea of it is very... It's quite unnerving.
Well, it's that, but done amazingly.
Right.
Whereas it's so easy to do it badly.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ellis only sees, he'd not seen any theatre till he met me, apart from Panto.
Yeah.
So everything he sees is like, what? It's not a Midsummer Night's Dream. Like, he doesn't understand. With Punch Drunk, he was like, he...
Sort your brain out, mate.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? You will have to cut that. Sorry, you're not supposed to talk about anything that goes on in that play.
Oh, no.
I'm really sorry.
That's all right.
You can keep it in till Ellis not knowing what to make of it.
Yes.
But it's a very good show.
Wonderful.
It's a brilliant show.
But Daisy pulls it off.
And also, we had to do that mingling in the audience thing with Marit Saad. But we were all...
You were in it.
Yeah. Right. But we all had to pretend to be mental patients.
Oh, wonderful.
So that was worse. If you think it's bad, like, yeah. When is the train to Moscow?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, will you be my friend? Oh. Will you be my... Like, and people just didn't know what to do. It was like,
I did kind of do a show, though, a horror show. Were you ever in my... Were you in any Zoe Gardner horror shows? Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
They were good fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think we quite did that, but it was probably bordering...
Oh, but that will have been funny. I think it's when it's supposed to be serious. With Daisy Pulls It Off, the curtains wouldn't open. So that was a genuine technical fault.
Right.
So all the mingling had been done.
Yeah.
People had endured it.
Yeah.
And then we all lined up on the stage and the play was about to begin. It was really obvious that it was about to begin.
Yeah.
And then the curtains wouldn't open and we were all completely panicking, so that wasn't meant to happen.
Uh-huh.
And there was this really big silence. Then I improvised and I shouted, "Open Sesame!" And it got a really big laugh. And that was like the first laugh I'd ever got.
Like
spontaneously.
Is that your first moment of comedy on a stage?
In a way, it was, because I'd done songwriting competitions at
How old are you
college.
At this point?
22.
Fuck.
I'd done the songwriting competition where I had got laughs through songs, but
it
was still quite a new thing.
Yeah. So that was quite a seminal moment for
you. Yeah, it was actually.
Were you doing music first then? So you learnt the guitar.
At the same time, really, I suppose. I learnt the guitar about 12 onwards.
Oh, did you?
But I already wanted to be an actress, so I suppose it was. Yeah, same time, really.
My thing was I was at school and it was comic relief and me and my friend put on a Mr Bean sketch. We thought this would be really good and we did it in the school to raise money off, like, kids. Like, no kids would have any money in the school.
Give us your dinner money if you care.
Kids are starving, guys. So we did, like, the Mr Bean sketch, you know, where he meets the Queen.
Oh, yeah.
But we were just doing it and we rehearsed it, me and my mate. And then we were doing it and all the big lads came over and I don't know, they just went like the guys over the crackers, just went rabid. Just like, I don't know what they were doing, but it was just a similar experience of just like
being
pointing
at us
and
apart.
And we were just like, oh, we're just trying to do our little sketch, you know.
God.
And they were just like, I can't think what they could have been doing. So they weren't like beating us up.
They must
they
have
just
been sort
like,
of like,
oh, dickhead, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but then my English teacher like got us, she went, they sort of heard about what had happened. And then the English class, we put on the show, right?
Try and make up for it?
Yeah. So she's like, do you want to do it? We were in the hall. And then we did the sketch and everyone's like, you know. And then I just kept going. And my mate just kind of slowly walked off stage. I was going, oh, yeah. And then it was basically like when I was on weed. But I had this, like, Ready Eddie puppet. Do you remember Ready Breck had Ready Eddie?
Yes.
It was like, I don't know why I had that with me. I think I just took it along, like, might use this at some point. Do you know, like, when you... I'm still like that now. If I do, like, a work in progress, I'm like, oh, maybe bring this hat. That might come in useful. Do you know what I mean?
I love that.
And then I just did, like, a good... It felt like 40 minutes.
But if it was getting laughs?
That was my moment, yeah. And when I do shows now, I think back to that. That's what I'm trying to recapture was that moment.
And the joy of
wonderful.
It. Wonderful.
I know. Innocent. I know.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, this show is called Sort Your Brain Out, Mate.
Yeah.
Part of the Into the Neuroverse universe, we'll call it.
Yeah.
So, I'm ADHD, as I keep banging on about, and autistic, we think. I say we, my therapist. Do you have therapy?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Wonderful.
My therapist says, why do you keep referring to we when you say we? I'm like, I'm not sure. I guess I mean me and the committee of people in my head. Do you know what I mean? The voices. But and I don't mean voices in a common, oh, the voices. You know, oh, how do you meds? You know, that kind of, I don't mean like that. But, you know, but yeah, so that's, so you're not neurodiverse as far as
no,
you know.
No, I really don't think I am. Like, having read Chappie's book a couple of times, because I've interviewed her twice, so I recapped on it yesterday, and I don't identify with, I don't think any of the, certainly with ADHD, I don't really identify, I find it very fascinating because I'm coming at it from a, I suppose, an outside point of view. Certainly like the anxiety, perhaps, you know, when I understand that, like, anxiety can be a part of it, and like worrying about, like, that's a thing that I've had to, that's been a bit of challenge at times in my life, but that's the, I'm pretty sure I'm not,
So I think it's interesting in terms of, like, you know, I was talking with Joe Wells, do you know, comedian, autistic comedian,
I don't
earlier
know.
Today.
I feel like we're talking about so out of touch.
How it is quite a community, and it's almost a, like a movement now, you know, which I feel quite nervous being part of, because you feel like an imposter, do you know what I mean? You feel like, I've just kind of given myself this thing, but it's like, but I think you would definitely be an ally to that in terms of the fact that, I don't, obviously you're not going to be like, I know you're not anti autistic people or anything. I'm not suggesting that.
Guys, I'm really sorry, but I'm organising a march for the comics who definitely aren't.
We've had enough. There are now comedians doing that. Well, mate, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, no,
finally, someone who hasn't got a bloody mental illness. Just tell a bloody joke, mate. We've heard it, you know. But I do think, I feel like we connect in terms of like a background where we're from, very close.
Yeah.
Nottingham Matlock is very fortified. I was there the other day. Went to Gulliver's Travels.
Gulliver's Kingdom,
even. Gulliver's Kingdom. Have you been?
I've been many times.
Have you been recently?
No, I was going to go and stay there a few months ago, but I didn't end up doing it.
It's exactly the same.
Is it?
I don't think they've painted it since I was
That
eight.
Makes me love it
it's
even
wonderful.
More.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Did the
it's
kids
great.
Like
it's
it?
Very rocky, rickety, sort of held together with tape.
As long as
it's
it feels
great.
Safe.
Yeah. More or less. They've got a bit that's just a travelator that goes up a little hill. It's just like, but it's done like it's a ride, but you just stand on it and it just goes, slowly takes you up a small hill. It's quite amazing. Do you remember you get the cable car at the top and go up to the top and up to the Zoo World and then, no, separate, like you go in because the whole thing is on a hill.
Yeah.
It's really impractical that you have to walk for miles to get to any of the rides. It's wonderful.
I haven't been for years. I am going to get... My best friend used to live for many, many years above Gulliver's Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
So we used to look
Well, I noticed there's quite a few houses, like, amongst the woods, isn't there?
Yeah,
like,
on one of those. The last house on the track she lived in.
Do you remember there was, like, a 10p machine on the high street called the Loch Ness Monster? And you put 10p in and, like, you wait about 20 minutes and then this monster, like, goes...
Yes.
It's just like a sort of sock.
In the hologram... Museum.
Next to the Hologram Museum.
Yeah, I do remember that. I went to the Hologram Museum about a month ago.
What? I don't think it's I ever amazing. Went in there. Is it good?
Yes.
Because my mum would always be like, oh, we're not going in there. That's too much money. It's a waste of bloody money.
It's got some amazing holograms from, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's great. And it's got, like, it's got one of the original baths as well from Matlock Bath.
It's I never even thought it was like a Roman baths, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's got one, and it's got photos of how it used to be, but also parts of it are unchanged. Like, it's very cool.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will go there. I may be going there soon.
Yeah. But also, I feel like we connect... Like, I find you very funny.
Oh, that's nice.
But that, like, that actually isn't that common for me now.
I think we both... No, totally. I think we both find certain types of people funny.
Perhaps it's partly
like
to do with our
like
schools.
Like that guy at Commodore International.
Yeah.
or like I often think of people like and think you would find them funny.
Yeah.
Well, Katie Wicks is the same, and she's probably the same sort of sense of humour.
Yeah.
I was on this course the other day. I might have to beep out what it is because I think I'm not allowed to talk about it. Yeah. There's just one guy who just kept chipping in. But every time he chipped in, he'd start by going, "Of course, I'm one of the older people here." He just kept going, "I remember a thing called the Highway Code." It was really like one of those guys. But everything he said, he had to point out that he was an older man and, like, "I've been driving for 35 years, right?" You know, and that's kind of...
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it was wonderful. But I don't know if we can keep any of that. I think, I'm sure it's all right. It's pretty innocent stuff, isn't it?
Very
But so the point of this is we're saying sort your brain out.
God. Sort your brain out.
So I'm just trying to work, just trying to find things that people who I admire and love, who are neurodiverse or not, can give me tips and thoughts. And one thing that I get from you is that positivity. I'm sure you get anxiety and depression and sadness like all of us.
This
but
is an
generally, it feels
thing.
Quite water off the duck's back. That's the phrase I was thinking about you on my way here. I was thinking it's always any come off a gig. You
they
always seem...
hated me.
No, but you
know, no.
You're
always
kind of like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? No matter what, there's always a kind of element.
Does it feel like there's a stable joy?
A stability.
So I feel...
You're not being broken or having meltdowns, but or fixating. Mm-hmm. Which is a very neurodiverse thing, to fixate on a thing and it can't go away and all that stuff. You know, I just feel like... And we've done a few projects together, none of which I think have gone anywhere, but we've done various pilots and things, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't know, have we? I can't... Have you got to that point where you just can't remember what you've done?
Yeah, but we definitely have. And we've done lots and lots of gigs together.
We did that one pilot thing up in Manchester where, like... We had so much fun.
Yeah,
didn't we?
We did.
But we just were so awful.
Yeah, it was...
Like,
yeah,
we really were just like... Yeah. We got so hammered.
In
and just
hotel.
Didn't try. We just weren't, because we were like so...
Yeah.
But we had so much fun. But anyway.
And we did the Brontes thing.
Oh, the Brontes. Yeah. That was wonderful. That would have been so good, wouldn't it? That might happen now if someone put that together in a Netflix-y type way. Anyway.
Or if some people resurrected it from the folders of their old computers.
I thought I did good writing on that. But
so
all those things, I always come away...
They? Yes.
What I would say is I'd look to... If we were in a room, I'd look to you to see what your response is almost, because it will be like, that's probably the most roughly, quickly, all-encompassing, accepting, this is the situation, and I'm going to deal with it in a very easy way.
Okay.
And that would be the way I would hope to adopt, but very rarely achieve. So what's going on there now?
Well, so I think you're right in
may
that I do feel
button?
Like, yes, you may.
Yeah.
I do think I have got... an innate wonder and joy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether that's nature or nurture. Mm-hmm. And I've never had depression. So I've
really?
Never... No, I'm really lucky. I've never... I think there have been times where things have been very challenging, I suppose, like life-wise, or... I remember once when a job ended as well, like an acting job, I didn't have any work. I felt, for a day, I was like... And I'm not comparing this to proper depression, but I did feel like really like sad, I suppose, and empty. But then by that evening, it kind of gone. So,
and is there a thing you tell yourself that? So
no,
you have
but I think then I
depression.
Made myself in 45 years.
One day, that's pretty good.
No, but listen, my drug of choice is like I definitely. I go towards the way of anxiety if I'm stressed. So I'm not, like, I know how it is to struggle with your brain, but it goes the other way for me. I always feel like, I used to sort of think, like, I think this is maybe a too black and white a way of thinking about it, that, like, depression is one side of the coin and anxiety is the other. But I just don't, I used to tell myself that, but then I actually think that's too simplistic a way of describing it. But I think what I meant was, what happens... And what happened to me in lockdown when I was spending a lot of time on my own, and I think I really do need time on my own, but I also really, oddly, need meaningful interactions with people, whether they're strangers or loved ones. But they have to really mean something and for it to be a genuine connection. What I absolutely hate and get exhausted by is small talk with anyone.
Yeah, so do I, yeah.
I think some people quite like it.
We quite quickly go to funny things or big things.
Big things, exactly.
Yeah.
I did a personality test. I keep telling everyone that this because I'm the most rare I'm the most rare personality type. There's only 1-2% of people of this.
What kind of personality test is it? Is this like...
I've done two.
not trying to three. Suggest it's yeah. bullshit.
I didn't have to pay for either of them. Okay. I was thinking they're free, is it?
It wasn't Scientology.
Basically, oh, God, and I can't remember the acronym now, but I am starting to read more and more about it.
Is it INCR or something like
it's
that?
It's ANFJ or something. Okay. I'll tell you what it is and you can put it in the show notes if anyone's interested. So it's someone who needs a lot of time on their own and who gets exhausted by, and I really do get exhausted by sort of, I suppose, when I'm in a when I'm around people and I don't feel like... I'm connected to them. I get very quickly kind of irritable and like grumpy. And it also in lockdown, so sorry, it was tied into, in lockdown I was stuck with my family, people who I have no connection with.
Oh, you're old as in...
No, my real family, no, I do. I got really...
But you get on with your family, do you?
I mean, I was stuck with Ellis and the kids. My family, absolutely, like... My mum and my sister go straight for the jugular in terms of subject. Like, they won't ask how are you or anything. It's, like, straight to... with the big stuff. In lockdown, I struggled with, you know, a low level of anxiety. They've kind of been part of my personality for a time. So just the thing about, I suppose, you know, if... sort of mild health anxiety, I'd say, compared to what it can be, but like definitely catastrophizing about. And it's almost, any kind of like, as a mole changed, oh my God, I'm going to die. Right. And then in lockdown, that all got worse. I think a lot of people's mental health suffered in lockdown. You know, I mean, I'm saying that's like understatement of the year, isn't it? But
I think for some people, like for me and Kat, it was very much like that first period was like one of the happiest periods of our lives, which is not good to say for all. A lot of people died and so on, but like
it's your own personal.
The world left us alone, and we didn't have to think about career and stuff. You know, once you realised we're going to be okay money wise for things anyway. It was quite a you still fixated a bit on health stuff.
Definitely, right? I'd be like, it's almost like I always feel this about myself. Like, I do enjoy life so much. I always feel like I'll never read enough books and I'll never not find nature beautiful. I just do feel like that. And even like if I'm walking along in a like shit city, I sort of quite naturally will go like, look at that gravel. It's three different tones of grey. And I feel very lucky to have that.
But then
it almost spills over sometimes into like, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be alive and it's too good. Something's going to go wrong. And I'm going to die and it's going to be my fault. So it's that weird thing where I am, as you say, and I'm really happy that you think of me like that. And I do, but at times, and it's now when I'm stressed. So therapists help me so much. But now I know when I'm doing too much because I start to get like, oh, and it's like I can step back a bit now and go, what's going on in the bigger picture? Like, why are you worrying about this stuff? And it's often that, I don't know, I'm not addressing something or that I'm doing too much. It's like the worry is a symptom of stress, I suppose, rather than what I used to think it was. I used to think it was just...
unresolved thing, maybe.
Even something simple as I'm going out too much and I'm feeling torn between being with the kids and, you know, saying yes to too many things.
Just
and...
that of, like, coming, you know, from, like I say, like... self-diagnosing as autistic, and I'm on the part of this podcast is the journey towards discovering if I am or not. And I think I am, but you know, I want to kind of officially find out. But it's like, you knowing I need to be alone, or I need to make sure I see people a few times a week that I have a connection with to sort of keep that satisfied. To me, I wouldn't know that until it's too late, it's taken me years to realize. Oh, I don't need to deal with that. Those people, although you know, the people who, or the things that bring you stress,
or that drain you,
Yeah, I don't need to take on that person's problem.
But do you
that's
know,
a big thing that I've taken on. Sucking in other people's responsibility for other people.
Yeah, and kind of going, I'll help you, and you're like, do you like if people come to you with a problem, will you sit with them for hours or let them come and stay at your house and stuff?
I
like that?
I do feel like I take on stuff sometimes. Yeah, and just learning to not. And that's not always helpful either for them, really.
I do know what you mean. But a lot of me learning this about myself is genuinely through doing those two free personality tests. I've remembered what it is now. Right. It's INJF. It's INJF hyphen A. And both of the personality tests said you get exhausted from being around, like, unmeaningful connections. It's really funny because you start to think, oh, my God, yeah. Like, what...
So what would be an unmeaningful conversation?
Well, do you know sometimes you're talking to someone and it might be someone you know really well?
Yeah.
But you feel like you're just not... Oh, I don't know. It's like perhaps you're not quite being listened to, or perhaps you're not quite listening to them, or there's not that...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can see someone sometimes for 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a joy.
Yeah.
And you might go, I'm having a really shit day because I just shouted at the kids and I didn't mean to. I feel awful. And they'll go, oh, God, don't worry. Da, 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 da. And you walk off and you actually feel, sometimes I feel like you've eaten. It's like fuel.
Yeah,
like
feel, it's wonderful.
And I mean those conversations or people, and it may not be their fault at all. It's just you don't quite go together.
That,
yeah, where it's the opposite, where it's like you're kind of dancing, but in two different ways, and you... And it can go on for ages.
I've been on a few... I was going to write about this, because in the main bit of my show, I just talk about an experience I've had and try and unpick it, kind of thing, like a long monologue. But I've had... I've read this thing that I haven't put out, but it's about going on camping trips with the school, with the parents. Have you done those? Do you do those?
No.
I do loads in Brighton, you know. And I've got some really good friends that I really get on with, but even with them sometimes, I'm there and I'm just realised I haven't spoken for fucking ages. And I have to go off on my own and, like, read or something like that. And I feel so wrong and weird and, like, God, how they... Do you know what I mean? But I just...
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to go, why are you fucking talking about this? Like, not as in, like, it's unimportant, not as in you're unimportant. It's just, like...
It feels...
Why are we talking about whatever this is?
Yeah.
But sometimes they are talking about something interesting. I just can't connect.
It's like you're not...
the connection.
It's the same with me. It feels like you're not in tune with them and... I think it's absolutely fine to take yourself off.
But it feels like you instinctively know that. I've had to kind of teach myself and allow myself.
I've only learned it in the last month, though, since doing the second... I'm not joking.
But as a person, like, I've always seen that in you. Like, you've always seemed to be able to be like, oh, well.
That's good.
About stuff, you know? Or just kind of, like, understanding, like, gigs and stuff. And
I suppose
like
with Edinburgh
stuff, you're always like, yeah, it's great. You know, but you're never like, oh, my God, fucking amazing. You know, or you're never like, nah, it's going to be shit.
Yeah, but it doesn't
you're
feel like there's too many peaks and troughs. Yeah, I suppose.
But not in a kind of like, yep, I'm happy with me lot. I don't mean that.
3 stars in The Guardian again. Don't worry, Izzy. You'll plod along.
I'm happy being in the middle.
It's fine.
I know.
Someone's got to be in the middle.
You never hit the peaks, but you never get hurt.
No risk.
Trudging along. Watch out, I'll start talking about John Deacon from Queen in a minute, the bassist.
Oh,
keeping
what?
A steady rhythm.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keeping it. No, but you seem to be able to... I don't know, just always feel to me like... Oh, I can't think of any examples, but when I'm stressed about something, or like my show isn't going so well, I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, this 12 years ago, probably talking, but you always just seem to like... You'd process the idea and it would just seem to process through a thing and then you'd come out with your... understanding and you'd be happy with your understanding of that situation. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas
oh God, you know, and freaked out and stressed out. And
I know what you mean. I don't think I lose control very easily. I don't think it's interesting. Do I feel that stuff and not show it? Like when I think back to Edinburgh, I remember it being a real slog. And I remember in 2008 not liking my show because it wasn't very good.
It's horrible when that happens, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
When you realise it's just not that.
You realise it's okay,
fuck,
just about, and you've got to do it for the whole
mental month.
Friggin'
2011, I just lost my mind. I was like, I couldn't learn the lines that I'd written. I like literally couldn't.
Oh,
I remember Kat just being backstage with me, just like, okay, right, say it again. And it was. Do you remember that? Have you ever seen Psychoville?
Yeah.
You know that bit where Steve Pemberton and they're trying to get him. He's got to say all the colours of Joseph's raincoat.
Oh yes.
Joseph's technical dreamcoat. Yeah. And he's like, it was red and green and they zap him every time he gets it wrong. It felt like that. And then eventually he just starts going, it was red and red and red.
Yeah.
Because he can't. Anyway, sorry.
You can't do that when it's only you. It's your show.
I know, and I've written it. I've chosen.
I know.
All of this I've chosen.
That's when it's very
hard.
Actually,
do you know what? That show was one where a lot of people got involved telling you, you know, when people are sort of, you know, you should make the show like this, or you should do this, you should do that, and then your brain can't think anymore what
it's awful,
what's good or
and then
not.
Also you think you've lost, they're only telling me what to do because it's shit. If it was good, then no one would feel the need to tell me what to do. I was the same in 2008.
Horrible.
I was going on as myself and comparing it in inverted commas, then turning around on the spot and becoming another character, where I was like, hi, I'm Yvonne Winehouse, Amy Winehouse's cousin, just saying who I was, just
but in
saying
like a tongue-in-cheek way, was it
like? Not really, like bad jokes and
who's
there was
this?
One, kind of like, now we're going to meet someone who's got a story to tell, and then turning around on the spot saying, hi, I'm Yvonne Winehouse, Amy Winehouse's cousin. And then I did
but
a character.
You would have made that funny.
I don't know. No, it just went on for too long, and then I didn't have enough material. So there was one character who I liked. He was like a really... he was about a 10-year-old boy who was really camp, and he was on Britain's Got Talent.
Great.
And his mum was in the wings telling him,
yeah,
like, she didn't want to do it, and he was like, fuck off, mum, I want to do it. Like, that was good. I loved doing that, and I should have done that for the whole show. But then I had no material, so at the end I had to do an awful song called Follow Your Dreams about what people wanted to be when they grew up. And I had to split the audience into men and women and get them to sing a chorus each to get the show above 50 minutes, sort of qualify for the Comedy Award.
I had to do that.
Follow your dreams, dreams.
Did it have a gag to it, or was it just...
No,
like
it was just like, follow your dreams.
It's funny, those moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember Lee Evans' show? Like, Lee Evans, who I absolutely love, but there was one show he does where it ends with just this thing about, like, he does a big song, and it's like, the clown cries too, or something like
that. Right,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of
do you think?
And it's unbearable. Yeah.
I was thinking, if you're going to end on a song, it has to be really, really funny.
Well, you
or
were great.
Good, I suppose.
In my last show, even though it does end, it's got a lot of emotion. Did you see my...
No, I only saw the... I
every single one of these that Andrew's watched today, I've talked about my show for a good 10 minutes.
Right, I'm really sorry. I haven't seen it since it was finished. We did that preview together in Brighton.
We did, and that was one of the most helpful moments. Because, do you know what I mean? Because it's being around you also and just watching your show as well, which is about Ouija boards, which my new stand-up is, weirdly, we had a very similar experience, but I mean, there's a whole thing we could talk about there because you're watching someone else's show and they're talking about something and you start going, your fist goes in your mouth, you're like, oh, fuck, are they going to say the joke I've got? But it wasn't. It was, like, different enough. I mean, it's completely different, but it was just just the fact that we both did Ouija boards as kids... is so, but I think when you put the shows or those bits of material next to each other, it'd be interesting because I think it's to do with just the world you're coming from and the parenting you're coming from.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Because mine was quite dark and, do you know what I mean? And the fact that you can make it all like kind of upbeat.
My mum
and there was
being
some
like, do you want me to help you with the Ouija board, darling?
Yeah, whereas mine is literally my mum going, we're doing a Ouija board. <It's> like... So I'd been diagnosed with ADHD. I was exploring all that. That wasn't originally in the show. The show became about loads of things. So I started doing it was going to be the death of Anna Mann. And then my brother died. And then it sort of became about grief and me trying to process that. And then, like, the pandemic happened. And then years went by. And then I had to do the show. And it was like... And then I got the ADHD diagnosis. And that opened this whole thing. And then it became about me going from being Anna to being Colin and stuff, which you've always been yourself on stage and been character, so I was quite inspired by that. But it's just being around you anyway just kind of reminded me of the fun. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to make it this stabbing yourself in the heart, because I think at that point the show so ended, Anna sort of becomes me, and I can't remember what I said, but it was something very cringe or some kind of like, I don't know.
Oh, at the
remember.
End of that preview.
But then we were just kind of talking about it, weren't we? And I said, what if I just kind of like, I become myself, and then it's like, hello, everybody! And you were just like, that's it, do that, you know? And that just kind of gave everything a... Because you've got to take the piss, like...
Yeah,
you know, you've got to have
there's
that
something
kind of,
nice about kind of undercutting those moments.
It's more
moments.
Powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
As long as the moment's real.
Yeah, as long as both moments
the end of
real,
your show had that, and that really inspired me, about your
thanks.
Dad.
Yeah, oh, thank you, yeah. In the end of my show, I undercut it. There was a song about my dad in the finished... article, and then I undercut it. I think it is nice, as long as both bits are sort of true and real, then
so you're not saying, oh, actually all that stuff I just said
absolutely I don't think it's a bit like improv, isn't it?
It
I suppose
is
it's a yes and rather than with the kind of undercut you're it's a yes and rather yeah. than a, actually that was all bullshit and a, you know.
Yeah. Because I don't want to show, because then you're not showing your vulnerability. There's something
No, and then I think the audience feels shortchanged.
You're always showing vulnerability. I mean, like you're doing this song to Ellis about just being in love with it. It's just wonderful. It was like, so, but it had a joke to it, didn't it? It was like, yeah, oh, because it was like the Tricolor books.
Yeah.
Not Tricolor, but the Welsh equivalent of that.
I can't stop doing
that. I said, he said, you.
Yeah.
That thing.
I've got to drop that song.
That song, why?
Because I've been doing it since 2011. It's my Wonderwall.
Do you still do it in clubs? Eat your greens, eat your greens.
No, I've done that.
No one else is going to eat
your greens. Eat your greens.
That's so funny.
Do you remember?
Where did
all the green sweets go? To the bottom of the pack. To the bottom of the pack.
Oh, maybe. Oh.
It was a conversation between me
That's
and
not
a
the
green
same as
sweet.
Eat your greens.
No, it was another thing with the word green in it.
Yeah.
But why no one wants sweet green sweets?
What is it, this green thing?
I don't know, it's weird, but now I wear a lot of green.
Yeah.
I've grown up.
Oh, God, it's good to be green. Well done.
Well, you live in Brighton.
But
you're
God,
in the only green constituency.
I have to start up. Is anyone here not vegan? That's what I have to say at the top. Otherwise, you get in big trouble. I've got quite a lot of vegan stuff in
have
my
you?
Set.
Are you vegan?
No, but I talk
yeah,
about
Yeah, I'm
that,
glad because you've just eaten
I know, a lot of,
show
a lot of chicken and a lot of cream. But I do, you know. So, yeah, the afterlife. So part of that show, you do kind of say that you sort of are a believer.
That's yeah, I think I
a
am.
A thing to put on you, isn't it? But I don't
yeah,
mean
I
like
think,
that.
I think, so what I would say is that...
I think you're probably at a similar place to me, by the way, before.
Yeah. The white feather thing in my show
yeah.
Is to do with my dad leaving, dropping... My mum telling us that whenever you see a white feather, it's dad
yeah,
saying hello.
Yeah.
And I do, every time I see a white feather and it feels like it's there from dad, I go, hello, dad, out loud.
Yeah.
Just like I go, good morning, Mr. Magpie, just say it all, and the kids are like,
yeah.
what do you want to
bug?
But I like it. And I think I think that two things. I think I want to believe that they're from dad, and I suppose that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think they could be from dad. So when I'm talking about the white feathers, I suppose I'm talking about the idea generally that he could exist in some form somewhere
yeah.
and be watching me. I do like that idea. I just
yeah.
do. I don't want to think that, you know, that there's nothing. Perhaps that's always part of what you believe. You don't, you believe,
you know,
probably,
was,
you believe what you
kids,
want to believe because there's no proof
yeah,
either way.
I was talking to the kids about it this morning on the way to school. It all came up and they started talking about it. And they were literally, I was holding their hands, they're on either side of me, you know. And I've always sort of roughly, because, you know, my daughter went through my brother dying, and then other people did die, you know, but it was big stuff, you know, and it's hard when she was old enough to understand sort of thing. So I have talked about everyone just goes in the sky, but in a, you know, so I've always said some people believe you go in the sky and you're there, and that's what I kind of feel like, they're there with you kind of thing. But there's this nice moment of just like going, we don't know, so just be happy and let's enjoy our life while we're here now. Do you know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
kind
think
of
that's a good thing to say.
Actually, to just, it's what makes life, if you can, you know, that Divine Comedy song where he goes, if heaven doesn't exist, what will we have missed? Kind of, it's such
yeah,
a good line.
It's a lovely
isn't it?
Line. I think that's the best thing to say to kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I believe anyway.
Yeah.
That you've so got to, and you know, we are getting older and we're the same age, aren't we?
Yeah.
You're,
I'm 44.
Are you the school year younger than, are you July?
I feel like I'm the year younger than you.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. No, I'm May.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you 44 as well?
I'm 45.
Okay,
so.
I think you would have been a year older than me.
But it's not that unusual now, is it, to have friends and family start to get illnesses and stuff that are
yeah,
serious.
Yeah.
Whereas I think, you know, even 5 years ago, it was like, oh, my God, they've got cancer. Or they've...
Yeah, yeah.
Now it seems more commonplace as
yeah.
time goes
as
on.
And people of our age as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go, I've always had that anyway. Of like, I've got to make the most of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean about it spilling over mm-hmm. to the, I've got to.
That's very stress, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and yeah. being a workaholic, which I used to be for sure.
Yeah.
But I think of like, got to make hay while the sun shines. I love life so much. I can't let
yeah,
a moment.
Yeah.
You think, well, you can love life and be walking along a canal or cooking.
Yeah.
You don't always have to be gigging or always have to be out.
It's that thing about the one thing millionaires will never have is enough, isn't it? As the...
Yeah. Well, the greatest gift is time.
Yeah. Lovely. What a lovely chat.
I've loved it.
You enjoyed it, is it?
Yeah.
It was nice.
Really
I feel like we didn't cover
it.
Any of the things I wanted to because I went all over the shop. But
that
was,
that's
sort of
fine.
There,
you've got to, you just have a plan and deviate from it, don't you? Like,
you've
generally, that's what I do.
Yeah. All right, darling.
Imagine if we'd both been like, hi. You know what I mean? Like, really awkward. Like, what's it like being a female comedian or something?
Yeah. I think I've only got people that I've already kind of can chat to.
Yeah.
But I probably need to break that at some point. Have you ever done your own podcast?
Yeah. I have.
You have one now.
No, but I did do my own. I did about 10 episodes and I only did it with people who I knew. Yeah. And then we did talk about getting like people I didn't know and I was always a bit like, okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. But I do the Penguin podcast a lot.
Sort of like, oh, I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, oh, no, I don't want to answer that. Or, cool. I interview on the Penguin podcast. The Penguin's got its own podcast.
Oh, yeah, no,
and obviously sometimes I know them. That's how I did Shappy the first time. But then often I don't know them. Yeah. It's good practice.
That's fun.
You should get someone on here who you know will be sound.
Yes.
Who you've never met. Like maybe someone from Nottingham. Yeah. Vicky McClaw, for
example.
Could
be fun. We could try. Wonderful. All right. So, can you just say, I've been as exotic and I've sorted your brain out.
Yeah.
This is literally a thing we started just funny on the last one. Go on, go.
I've been Izzy Sutty and continue to be Izzy Sutty and I've sorted your brain out.
Yeah! Sorry. Thank you for listening to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt. That was produced by Comedy Kerfuffle with music by Eyes on Legs. Now, please, this is the good bit. You must subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us a review on Apple and recommend the show to all your friends, especially people who you think desperately need it, but they don't know yet. If you'd like to keep the show going, you can support us at patreon.com/Colin Holt. Give a little bit of money and that keeps the whole thing flowing. Follow us at Neuroverse Pod and at Colin Holt Comedy. Bye.
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. Crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.